Come watch an international film. We'll get together, have a few laughs, because we're talking movies. We're talking Animal, starring Ranbir Kapoor, Anil Kapoor, and Rashmika Mandanna. Written by Suresh Banjaru, Panray Reddy Venga, Sabra Gupra, and Sandeep Reddy Venga, who also directed. Chris, you could ask me anything. Whether I watch porn, if I check out girls, anything dirty, I'll always give you an honest answer.
Next time you're pissed with me, don't mess with the salt or pepper. Just add some poison instead. Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of How'd You Like That Movie? As Scott said, we're going to be talking about the blockbuster Indian film Animal. And I think a lot of our quotes and stuff are even more out of context than normal because they're not English language. Anyway, Scott, let's get into this bad boy. Bad boy.
Okay. So I want to start with this.
I love how you have a poster for those who are just listening. It's just two men. Two oily men. That is what Scott's background is for the YouTube channel. That's great, Scott.
And that's not for the YouTube channel. That's literally the poster that's behind me, in my room all the time. but first, I want to start with this little statement. And I believe we can all agree with this. Art is subjective. You take from it what connects with you, right? So let me tell you, Chris, this movie as an action comedy fucking works so hard, because this movie had me in stitches. Its whole seamlessly endless runtime, because this is probably one of the funniest movies I've seen in a very long time.
Oh, so you enjoyed it?
No, because it's fucking absurd, this movie. but for finding out, when you suggested this movie, I'm not gonna lie, I was just like, I don't give a shit. And then you sent me the picture, and I didn't look at the runtime. I should have looked at the runtime.
I should have looked at the runtime as well. I should have looked at the runtime.
Because if I knew going in it was 3.5 hours, I would have been like, maybe not.
You're like, maybe I would have pushed back on that decision a little bit more.
I was just like, okay, action movie, sure, why not? Fuck. I was like, I liked RRR, you know. It was long too, but at least it was somewhat entertaining. But this movie, yeah. And this is a seamlessly long runtime. Like, to give an example, 1 hour, 15 minutes is when you get the fucking title card of the movie.
Yeah, that's like the cold open.
1 hour, 15 minutes. I'm like, I even forgot about it. I'm like, why the fuck is this showing up now? Because when it's happening and all of a sudden the background's going into the credit, not the credits, but the special effects of the circles. And then all of a sudden Animal just pops up while they're eating. I'm like, why the fuck now?
I actually thought oh, is this maybe where the intermission goes? Because like it's broken into thirds, or?
I don't know, man. But I'm going to tell you, This is the stuff that didn't work for me, and then I'll tell you what did work for me. One, what didn't work was the non-linear storytelling.
Yeah, man. Sometimes we would jump back into places, and I'm like, "Who the fuck is? Where are we in this movie right now?"
Yeah, because they did it like it was a fucking episode of Family Guy, where Peter just mentions something, then you just watch that for 3 minutes, then he comes back to the story. I'm just like, why the fuck is he dressed like Michael Jackson now? Why is he dancing? And then all of a sudden, and the thing that the director.
I just want to preface everything. I meant to do this at the top of the show. There's a big asterisk on everything we're saying. We are not Indian. So any of the cultural stuff, please sparing with your hate for the two white guys that are talking about this. If there's some cultural aspects that we're missing, we don't know them. So, and I just really wanted to preface all of these conversations with this. Anyway, sorry to cut you off there, Scott.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, and to be honest, I know you don't like this, but there's no way I can discuss this movie without fucking doing spoilers. I'm sorry.
Oh, just do it, man. Just do it.
Because, okay. So the big thing is, who attacked his dad? Who attacked his dad that he had to get on a flight, move his family? Because, you know, he has Freudian daddy issues.
100%.
So he moves his family back from the States to their hometown to find out who shot his dad. Then the next scene is him killing his brother-in-law. And now we're going back to the how did it become the brother-in-law thing. I'm like, why not just flip them? Like, why do I have to already know who fucking killed the guy to find out how he found out who he killed the guy?
I mean, that in itself is like, I mean, you see that in other films, right? Like where you start, I mean, Fight Club opens with a gun in the mouth and Tyler Durden. And then you like see the whole film up to that point. Like, I don't have as much of an issue with that.
Right. But that's the thing. You don't see Tyler Durden get shot and killed because now it doesn't matter.
True. That is true. That is true.
Right. Because if he's shot and killed, it doesn't matter. If, like, and no offense to watch somebody fucking orgasm after choking out a guy in retro rev, like fucking 90s house dance music. I was like, what? That's why it was just making me fucking laugh the whole time. I'm like, the music does not match what's supposed to be conveyed on this screen.
So, okay, right off the bat, one of my big challenges with this, and there's a lot. So, okay, so the basic premise is supposed to be, like, the son that loves his father more than anyone, but doesn't get that love back from his dad. He's too busy. His dad cares about other people. That's kind of, like, the premise that's set up even in the trailer. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, so, you know, this guy, I'm expecting him to be the most devoted son, and his dad just doesn't give a shit. So first off, the son is kind of a fucking little piece of shit. He's a fucking brat. And the dad has very reasonable reasons for being mad at him. Like, I don't know, when you go to your daughter's college and you bring a fucking assault rifle and the only reason you're not going to jail is because I'm like the richest man in India. And he's like, maybe don't do that. And it's like, oh, dad, I got to stand up for our family. Again, asterisk, cultural stuff. But like, I thought the dad was actually going to be like really shitty to his son and like push him away. This man, this father was totally fucking reasonable. That at no point I was like, I can understand why you're telling your son maybe get the fuck. You went to someone's house, fucking fucked up their marriage, and then like had the chick come back to your house and your parents are like, hey, maybe don't do that. Dad, you just don't get me. Your dad for his birthday, you got him a haircut? Seriously? That was your big fucking flex? Again, I can see why your father is underwhelmed. I don't know why you think your dad owes you fucking anything, my little son. Like,
yeah, and that's the thing. Like, okay, I'm just gonna pause for it because I was getting like excited here. It's like the director again, Sandeep Reddy. It was like one night, Cat Stevens fucking came on. And Cats in the Cradles was playing, and he was like, you know what would make a good fucking movie?
This song.
This motherfucker is going to make a good fucking movie. But you know what I'm going to throw in it? Everything. It's like the kitchen sinks coming in here. Like to find out, I know you're saying, but like I'm saying, like in terms of how pieced together is it? Like, at what point did you realize 2 hours into this movie, we're fucking cheering for Nazis? The main protagonists of these movies are Nazis.
Well, again, this is... Okay, so the swastika in this, I think, has more of a Sanskrit reference. But, okay, and I hear what you're saying. So I'm trying to, like, keep that in my mind. I'm like, okay, Indian film culture. I'm like, it's 2024. You can't use that symbol and put all that other shit in there and not have people go, huh, Nazis.
That's the thing. Like, at one point, they hailed.
Yes!
Like, he put his arm up.
With the right fucking hand, too.
And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, and then I'm like, okay, so you know, the main bad guy of this movie, who's behind me, you know, the bearded guy, shirtless, you pick. because you don't know, like, is the Nazi the bad guy? Is he the hero? I don't know. But, you know, he gets introduced 2 hours and 40 minutes into a 3 hour and 20 minute movie. The fucking main, the final boss is the last half an hour of this movie. And when he gets introduced, I thought, like, it was his son, like, the main character's son, now fast forward into the future. Because the movie fucking starts with this guy at his 100 years old, right? So I thought we were going to progressively get there. So, and then to find out he's not the main guy, and you're like, he's not the son. And it's just, he's now the main bad guy who, like, talk about a fucking wedding night. Like, that in itself, I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Well, and then it also felt like there was, like, scenes that were, okay, let's just talk about, like, the, let's take my new wife on the airplane, have sex in the airplane, get her to teach her how to fly the airplane, go to sleep in the airplane while it's on autopilot so I can fly over. I'm like, what the fuck is, and then they make reference to airplanes again when he goes back to his village, and it's the kid is like, oh, I heard you own 2 airplanes. Like, okay, you're, like, super rich. But I'm like, what was the point of that whole airplane sequence?
Like, well, to me, and I'm not gonna lie, that I was thinking, who the fuck gave this guy a license? Because who before, like, taking off, he took off, like, the plane was in its trajectory up when he decided to take his wife in the back.
Yes.
And I'm like, shouldn't this level out? Like, I'm pretty sure autopilot doesn't take off for it. It, like, it's once it's level, the autopilot would just keep it kind of steady. But I'm like, fucking autopilot takeoff? Just so you can get laid? And then the fucking line was like, and that's what I think, like, because they had, like, when I was reading this, like, one person had the story, one person wrote the screenplay, one person wrote the dialogue. To have one of the dialogue being like, you know, they lost their virginity, I guess, to each other. And then
in the Mile High Club. I mean, that's pretty impressive. That's impressive.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying, they lost their virginity. They're discussing it. And then he was like, well, let's do it, like, in regular gravity, not high gravity. And she was like, oh, have you done it before? He's like, you never asked me if I flew a plane before and you got in one. I'm like, like, you would assume if you have 2 fucking airplanes and you have a pilot license, and to think, I'm just going to teach you how to fucking fly a plane in, like, because there's no perspective of time in this movie, right?
That's right.
Because he went to go take a shit, take a shower, and he was just held her, put her hands on the steering wheel and just randomly pointed at stuff, like, outside. It was pretty much like, don't hit that mountain. Avoid that cloud. It might cause turbulence. Yeah, just keep it straight. Just keep it straight.
Also, like, the whole scene about, there's a massive conversation about too much starch in his underwear. How expensive his underwear is, how it makes him itch. Like, they play out a whole scene. There's, like almost like a story arc to, like, getting the underwear unfucking starched. And I was like, am I missing something here? Like, and then even when they get that big, like, Gatling gun, he's like, you got to wear earmuffs and you got to make sure you're wearing underwear. Again, it was a story beat was, he's not wearing underwear because it's fucking starchy, and that's, but he actually needed to wear underwear to shoot the gun. So the gun runner basically gives him his underwear. I'm like, again, next time we do one of these films, we need to bring on, like, a South Asian director or something like that, that can maybe walk us through the culture so that we know the difference between cultural stuff and just, like, bad story shit.
No, like, and that's the thing. Like, I personally had a very big problem with that. And not because of the underwear, but just that scene in general. When it turned into the fucking raid where it's one fucker against 200 guys, right, in an axe fight, when his homies decide to like fucking do an NSYNC like backlash where they're all singing, and he's fighting 200 guys with an axe. I don't understand how 200 guys with fucking axes are all waiting to go one on one.
Also, why are your buddies not jumping the fuck in? They just helped you kill a bunch of other people, and now, yeah, they're just doing like a musical interlude behind you, and you're just like, what?
Yeah. Like, to me, it was just like, oh, this is going to be an amazing scene, right? Like, that's the thing. Sometimes the visuals do not match the story you're telling. You're just going for the visuals.
Yeah, they're just set pieces, right?
Because it's the same. Like, I want you to seriously think about this. And then explain it to me. So he's on that grappling gun that he needs the headset and the underwear, right? That is on the second fucking floor. You literally watch him roll it up super fucking 1 kilometer an hour while everybody has Tommy guns, mini guns, watching him roll for fucking a minute, 3 minutes at 1 kilometer. And then watch his little bulletproof vest thing pop up. So his face is protected, but his whole side is exposed. Nobody took a fucking shot. This movie could have ended at 1 hour and 45 minutes. Nobody took a fucking shot. And then you watch them get scared and run down the stairs. Explain to me how he brought that fucking grappling gun from the second fucking floor to the basement. Because then it explodes and he's in the basement and then you're just watching him fuck shit up with that gun, right? And I'm like, it took him fucking 5 minutes to roll an inch. How the fuck did he bring it down while all these fuckers are running?
I mean, outside of the like not making any sense, it was cool. Okay, so one of the things, again, not to just poo-poo on this movie all the time. So when they get their action sequences right, they're good. Like, they're cool. Like, you could just watch those. Like, they almost have no bearing on the story. Well, they have bearing on the story, as in they technically move the plot forward. But, like, I would rather just watch those action sequences. Like, the axe fighting choreography and the lighting and stuff is cool. And when I was doing some of my background, they did say that the director was talking about how he was really inspired by Kill Bill. Yeah, there's like some serious, like straight out of Kill Bill scenes where they're like walking in all in their suits. Even the hallway shot is very reminiscent of when Lucy Liu's character shows up with her like crazy 88 posse and they're at the tea house or whatever. So the fight sequences are great. But then you'll also have like, so the film basically opens with this badass motherfucker, James Dean, smoking a cigarette, riding a motorcycle. I'm like,
no,
all right.
No. No, 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 no.
That's not the opening?
The opening is him as a child.
Oh!
Mid answer at a school, deciding to run. And then somebody stole his backpack and he got whipped. And he missed his dad because it was his dad's birthday. That's when it opened. And then all of a sudden it fast forwards.
Yes. Yes.
And it wasn't James Dean. He was dressed as Michael Jackson bad. It was Michael Jackson bad. Because they referenced it in the opening scene because he had a fucking... They made sure that little kid that was playing him as a 10-year-old was standing next to a Michael Jackson bad fucking poster.
I must have missed that part.
Because then it goes to Michael Jackson. Then he starts dancing and he breaks up a fucking wedding because, you know, he's the alpha.
That's why he was moonwalking. Okay, that makes way more sense now. I missed that part. I'm like, why is he moonwalking in? And everyone's just like, yo, what's up? What's up? And but the way he breaks up that wedding, I think is so great. He doesn't just like, you know, first he stares her the fuck down. Like he's just staring at her while they're doing like their engagement photos or whatever. But then he just like cruises into the fucking the wedding party, or I guess the whatever you would call it, the where everybody's drinking and stuff. And he's like, he doesn't just throw on some sick track. He's like, all right, everybody, we're going to sing our school song, which is in English and is the shittiest. Like, it is exactly the type of song you would sing if you went to like a private college or something like that. It because it's the most like lukewarm, watered down English. But that is how he gets her, to remind her of the fucking past they had when they were like children. I was like, are you fucking serious? I guess I'm gonna try that. I'm gonna like, you know, go roll up on some chick and just start singing some stuff from summer camp or whatever. Like, Gangu went the little green frog one day. Gangu went the little green frog.
See, to me, like, that fiance should have been the main bad at the beginning. Like, by the end. It should have been him. Like, motherfucker, 20 years ago, you fucked up my life. And now, I'm gonna fuck you up. Because, you know, having the reveal, and then, you know, mute guy, shows up. He's the bad guy, that, and you realize that fight that apparently happened, it was what, 10, 15 minutes of screen time that apparently was two and a half hours of their time, because they made sure they referenced that, like, what's going on? They've been fist fighting for 2 hours, right? 2 hours they've been fucking fist fighting. With the end credit technically being a 5 minute trailer for part two. Because now you're getting fast forward to part two. That 2 hour fight meant nothing.
Yes.
Right? Because you're like, wait a minute. So, guy who's a butcher who could fuck anybody up wasn't the guy you actually fucking fought. So who the fuck was this guy that they plastic surgery? That they almost take out the... Like, if you can't even... If you barely are fucking alive when a minion fucking... kicking your ass, right? Like the one scene that I thought was fucking hilarious during that fight was when, you know, after 2.5 hours of fighting and they're all broken and beating, you know, the Nazi guy had to, you know, show some compassion. He's like, listen, I'll stop if you stop. We share the same blood. Let's stop this right now. And what did the guy do? Pull down his, just unzipped his fly. At no point did he reference anything. He just, maybe after a 2.5 hour fight where you're going all in, he just had to pee. And then this guy fucking throws him around and he just stands there and like fucking sautés his neck like it's fucking a dull blade. Like at one point you should have been like, can I just get another knife or can I just get a gun? Because this is taking way too fucking long. And he fucking orgasms. Like, you notice the main guy orgasms every time he fucking kills someone, right? Like, he's like, ah!
But, yeah, this film makes fucking no sense for the most part at all. Again, maybe there's some cultural stuff because, like, he gets in fights with his sisters at the fucking, is it at a wedding? At the beginning there? Is that the wedding? Oh, it's the birthday. No, it's his dad's birthday. Just because they're like...
he didn't approve the wedding. He didn't approve her match.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, shut up. But it's like, and it's all this weird exposition, like, for someone who went to Harvard and has a PhD, you tell me to shut up? And again, there's some stuff I'm sure getting lost in translation, but I'm like, why is that relevant? Is that just to show, like, status? Like, the fact that they went to American schools? But yeah, it's just, so imagine this. A dude walks into your college. He has a fucking AK-47. He shoots the fucking place up because you were grabbing up on his sister. Okay. So then he gets in the car with his sister. Do you then get on your like motorcycles and scooters and chase him down? The motherfucker just brought a fucking gun to class. Unless you're going to bring some other guns, I'm probably not going to try and chase his car down. I was like, and you know what the best part about that is that in it, depending on what view you have, you're like, it's just the two of them in the car. But at multiple times, I'm pretty sure it was the camera. You could see two people in the back seat. The wide shots?
Yeah, the butler was in the car.
Oh, he was in the car. Okay.
There was three in the car. Yeah.
Okay, because I was like, is that the fucking cameraman? The butler got it. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, because the dad ended up slapping the butler around because he had like a bruise on his face. And then the son's like, oh, you got in trouble. I'll never forget that you had my back, right? But
which, again, also never comes up again.
Yes.
It's not like you see
that guy again.
Oh, actually, so they do the body double thing, right? Which is like, okay, that's cool. They trick the brother-in-law with the body double. And then the guy's like, can I...
Wait, before you start. you walk out and watch your body double in open view, and then the only thing that blocks the brother-in-law from seeing the body double is the son standing in front of the dad.
That's right. That's right. But, okay, remember that at this point in the story, they're trying to ascertain who put the hit out and tried to assassinate the dad. Which, again, I also want to know, because there's the whole other plot point about bringing in your actual family to protect your dad because the security didn't do a very good job. It's like, but it sounds like the dad was just cruising around without his fucking security. But anyway, that's for a different, that also never gets really resolved. So you're trying to figure out who is like trying to hit your dad up. So you get your body double to like roll home in his bulletproof BMW. You would think you would also then be tracking that BMW. So when the motherfuckers jump out and shoot it, you're like, ah, there's the motherfuckers. Instead of just being like, oh my God, the body double just got fucking butchered. Like,
yeah. Well, not only that, but it's like, we've tapped into everybody's phone, right? That we're going to reveal it's the body double. Who's going to make the fucking phone call? But that's not the most absurd thing. So like I'm saying, there's no context of time on how much a minute of screen time is a minute in this movie. If you're the fucking body double and you're in a bulletproof fucking car and you're literally watching people do thousands of shots and not one fucking bullet is going in, and your security detail runs out because, you know, he's scared, and then you close the door, no one can get into that car. Why didn't you just shift over and drive that fucking car? Why are you standing there watching them put like fucking harpoons into the fucking windshield?
That was cool. That was a cool way to, like I said, the action set pieces are good.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, it went on too long. Like, after they assess they can't get in, it should have been right away.
Yes.
Right? Not like you, it was literally another five. Like, I think they reloaded like 4 to 6 times. And then they're like, fuck, these bullets aren't going to work. And then the guy jumping onto the roof, like he's fucking Spider-Man. Like, what the fuck? But here's the thing. Like, and like I said, I can't talk about this without spoilers. Do you want to know what the most absurd fucking plot point of this whole fucking movie was? Is, okay, so he needs a new heart.
Yeah, where the fuck, why, like, how did that even just become a thing, right? He's got all the other damage.
The gunshot. Yeah. Something about the gunshot.
And now we need to have an entire Delta storyline about getting fucking a transplant.
Right, so, okay, so he gets a new heart. You don't find out who the donor is, but it seemed like, you know, give or take, because he goes from pot belly to like fucking back to ripped during that fucking surgery. So obviously they had a plastic surgeon at the same time redoing his fucking abs, right? But comes out, now he meets the donor's fiance, and out of the fucking blue, he's like, you're gonna live in my grandfather's house. Because you need to figure some shit out. It's not like she probably has a house, 9-to-5 job, whatever. You know, she just wanted to hear. I just wanted to hear his heartbeat again. At no point does that ever fucking happen. But and then all of a sudden, they start having an affair. The next day. The next fucking day. Right? And this is the guy who's like, gets mad at all his cousins. Because, you know, they're away from their wives and they decided to get hookers, right?
And I do love that the hookers are white people.
Yeah, 100%.
That is a cultural point. I'm like, I can understand this. I can understand this.
100%, right? So I'm like, okay. So they get mad. You know, you guys are wives. You made vows, blah, blah, blah. Boom. He has the affair. And the affair goes on for...
And remember, he stole his wife from somebody else.
Yes. Then they have the affair, and then that fucking reveal comes on. Like, well, all of a sudden he's like, she falls in love with this guy because, you know, the dickin' was good. The dickin' was good. She falls in love. She relays that she's actually a mole. And he's like, I knew it since that day that I was naked walking through my lawn and you saw my dick. I knew the way you looked at my dick, I knew you were a mole. So let me tell you, for the last 6 to 7 months, however long, because again, there's no fucking time frame on here. I've been giving you the good dicking so you can fall in love with me and tell me the plot of the major villain that just got introduced 10 minutes ago.
That's some like James Bond. I've got you tied up. I gotta tell you my whole plan before you before I kill you type of situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then she's like, oh, I fell in love with you. What are you gonna do? He's like, you can die. And then he walks out and like nothing fucking better happened to this woman. You make sure she gets home safe. Put some fucking guards on her. You make sure she's okay. And then they have that fucking scene with the wife where, you know, she breaks down. And then she fucks him. Right? The kids, like, they're screaming, they're fighting. The kids wake up, they console the kids, and she's like, you gave me some tea or maybe cow urine. I don't know, because that's what it looked like in the scene before. The cup was cow urine. He's like, now we're gonna fuck. And then, like I said, the end credits of this is a 5 minute trailer for what technically part two is gonna be. This wife leaves her husband. There's already a boyfriend in play. At no point did we ever see until that last minute, 5 minute mark. Because the guys that fucking drove and looked at her and was like, you're coming with me. And then you're like, where the fuck did this fucker come from?
So this film, and I've got two quotes actually for this film, but the one film quote I'm going to use is from Fong Lee of The Guardian, and she said, "Ranbir Kapoor plays one of the vilest protagonists in cinema history." And really, they like there was a lot of commentary on how what's the word I'm looking for? Not patriarchal, but chauvinistic this film is. So all this talk about sex is interesting too, because there's this scene where he's standing there and his wife comes out in like not even an overly sexy, but like some kind of like some black lingerie or whatever. And he fucking like loses his shit. Like, what are you doing? Like, you don't need to be sex. I'm hard for you basically all the time. I don't need this action. And then she kind of is like, yeah, but you haven't been really doing that. And then he's like, okay, well, let's do it right here. And she's like, well, the fucking kids, they're in the, oh, sorry. They go into the bedroom. He's like, let's go to the
The
yard or
bathroom.
something like that, or the bathroom. He's like, let's go to the bathroom. Let's go to the kitchen. Let's do this because the kids are here. By the way, they live in a fucking mansion. Like, so I don't know why you can't just put the kids in their own fucking room. And then they have a bit of a fight, and he's still just like, yo, so are we gonna do this or what? Like, trust me,
No,
I'll.
you missed a big reveal there. She turned him down in the bathroom. She turned him down on the couch. Then he's like, do you want me to go get the plane? And she was like,
That's
yes,
her.
motherfucker, you fucking get. She's like, is it too late for the plane? She's like, no, let's get the fucking plane. And then they have a fight. And then that's when he's like, well, are we still gonna get the plane or what?
So as much as we've been like really going at this film, so the critics are kind of on our side. It's got a 30% on Rotten Tomatoes from the critics, 81% from the audience. These budget numbers might be off because I did my best to translate them from rupees to American dollars. I think it had, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think it had a $12 million budget, American, and it looks like it did about 111 million US. This is the highest grossing A-rated Indian film. And so when I looked up what an A rating was, it feels like it's a mix between NC-17 and R. Because I mean, I don't, it is the highest rating they have that you can show to the public, but the way you, when it, the actual description of it makes it more like R. Like, I don't even think they fuck around with stuff that would be like NC-17. So, this has got like some big players in it though. Like, Ranbir Kapoor, he's won 7 Filmfare Awards, which is their Oscars. He's one of the highest paid actors in India. He's got a net worth again about 60 million USA, USA in American dollars. The dad is played by Anil Kapoor. He's also got 7 Filmfare Awards. People actually here might recognize him from Slumdog Millionaire, which he got. I think he,
24.
what's that?
He was on 24 as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he was also in Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. He's got some photos up of him and Mr. Cruise hanging out. And then
no, just
yeah, go ahead.
Just because you brought up Tom Cruise, the one thing I did kind of appreciate, like when they the main actor, when his name comes up in the title, like at the beginning, it wasn't even starring; it's superstar.
Yes, yes.
Could you imagine, like Mission Impossible, fucking 8, box office sensation, Tom Cruise.
I forgot about that superstar reference. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, what is this? This is crazy. And then the female lead is played by Rasmika Mandanna. And she, again, she's like a rising star in the Indian film industry. This is in her Wikipedia. She's one of the highest followed Indian actors on Instagram. She's got 42.2 million followers. This film is one of the longest Indian films ever made, and Indian films already are a bit long, and so this was like so far like in the top longest films ever. So
what you're saying is we're good for another year.
Yes okay. We are. Again, I cannot recommend watching this film because it's way too long, it's way too much of a mess. If you are Indian and you're listening to this and you've got some criticism, I mean, feel free to give it to us, but remember, we also have no idea what the fuck we're talking about when it comes to your cultural stuff. So there might have been really important information that we just don't get. I did like RRR, so this is not that I don't like Indian cinema. RRR, I think, is great. I definitely recommend watching RRR. Even on Netflix, like, I wouldn't bother watching this fucking film. You got anything else, Scott? Or
I thought that was fucking good.
Okay, well then, if we're gonna end, I'm gonna end on this. So, this is an Indian critic from IndieWire, Prama Khosla. Rabir Kampar stars in a blood-soaked drama about daddy issues that is screaming at the top of its lungs with nothing to say.
And that is our wrap for the day. Please like and subscribe to this podcast. Tell your friends. If you want to get a hold of us, reach us at the www.howdyoulikethatmovie.com.
Hey, can I let you in on a little secret in our audience? This is in the after show stuff. I didn't finish this movie. I watched 2 hours of it and I was like, and I'm done.
So, are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I gotta tell you how it ends.
Okay, go.
This guy did plastic surgery. So this guy did plastic surgery to look like this guy. So he can infiltrate the family and kill everybody from within. You find out that the girl he had an affair with is now pregnant. He did have the best, like, he had the best line of the movie while he's looking like this guy. He's like, we're going to wait till you have the baby. And if he looks like me, if he doesn't look like me, then I know it's mine because he had the plastic surgery. But if it looks like this fucker, he knows it's from the thing.
Production by Rod Shaver, Vader Monkey Productions.